Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
I want to talk to you today about what your gifts are and how you use yours. This past month, we've been talking about the kingdom of God, and we've acknowledged that the kingdom of God is not a matter of the things of this world. As a matter of fact, the kingdom of God is not the kingdoms of this world. The kingdoms of this world want to control you. They want to get from you. The kingdom of God is an investment in you by Jesus Christ, who gave his life to make you a part of his kingdom. And the kingdom of God's not a political system. It is a family. It is a family. And Luke chapter 17, 21 tells us how we become a part of the kingdom of God. It says the kingdom of God is within you. So Jesus literally made you a part of the kingdom when he accepted you as one of his children, forgave you of your sins, and you believed and confessed in him. If you haven't done that, well, you need to. But if you have, then you're a part of the kingdom of God. And he also told us there's a physical manifestation of this kingdom on the earth. And that physical manifestation of his kingdom is the local church. Now, I believe in parachurch organizations and things like that, but I will tell you that the local church is the place where God's kingdom is manifested in our lives. And it reveals that to us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. So it's God's plan that every person that's a part of his kingdom be a part of the local, visible, tangible gathering of the saints, of those who have been born anew into his kingdom. And that's what the local church is. So that is, this interaction with the local church is how you become really all God made you to be. Now, I know people say that you can be a Christian and not go to church. And I can say you can be a fish and not live in water too. But you won't live very long. You can be a Christian and not go to church, but you won't live very long. You need to be in a local church, and you need to be committed to that church, submitted to that church, and a part of that church. And that's why God gave us the church, is because it is the pillar. You know what the church is? The church is the place that you go to be encouraged to not be like everybody else in the world. You know, this world does not submit to the lordship of Jesus. And out there, you know, things that are wrong are considered okay. And out there, things that are out of alignment with God's plan are considered to be normal. But in here, this is the place we encourage ourselves to be devoted to the kingdom of God and to our King, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we're devoted to him first, primary, and foremost. And this is the place that we encourage ourselves to do that. And that's why everybody needs to be a part of a local church. Last week, we learned that we are called to invest in the kingdom of God. So I'm going to make the correlation. God has called you to invest in the local church. And you do that by being committed emotionally. We're in this for total commitment. We need to emotionally commit to God's kingdom, that we will take our next step of discipleship regardless of what it is. And no matter what it costs us, we will take the next step because we are emotionally committed to do these things God has called us to do. Financially, we're called to financially be committed and invest in the kingdom of God. And right now, in those offering envelopes, there's the thing called Kingdom Builders, and we're asking in this sermon series that you would learn to invest in the kingdom of God. And what Kingdom Builders is, later on this year, we're going to do this a little different. We're going to invest in people around the world and places and vision and stuff like that. But through the remainder of this summer, every penny that comes into Kingdom Builders will go to pay the loan down on this building. We have until March 2015 to pay down our loan so that we can get things under control. I've talked about that. You're going to get a letter from me this week. If you don't get a letter from me this week, it's because you've not put anything in an offering plate. And it's wrong for you to sit and participate in the local church and never to put in and invest back in. So these lights don't pay for themselves. That's your part. But Kingdom Builders, let's go back to this. You're going to get a letter this week. I'm going to explain it again. But every penny this summer that goes to Kingdom Builders will pay the loan. We're going to pay the principal of the loan, not the interest on the loan, principal. We're going to pay down this loan. And there are those of you in this room, God's dealing with you, and he wants you to give, and he wants you to give to that. Then I want you just to say okay and to give to it. And there are others that God, you know, he wants you to give a couple of bucks a month. Well, then do it. Whatever God's encouraging you to do, I encourage you to do it. And you know what? If he says absolutely not, give it to missions instead, well, then fine. We'll support more missionaries. You know, last year we gave over $200,000 to missions.
Yeah.
That's good. It says we are invested in building God's kingdom. We are invested. This church, us as a leadership, me personally, I'm invested in building God's kingdom. Part of the reason we give to missions is I give to missions above and beyond my tithes. It is a privilege for me to do it. And it's a privilege for me to give to kingdom builders too, because every dollar I put on that principal right now, it's paying $4 over the life cycle of this loan. Come on. That's a good investment, right? If I said, I'll give you a dollar, you give me four back, you'd be like, no. But if I said, you give me a dollar, I'll give you four back, you'd be like, okay. Right? Right? You give a dollar here, it's $4 for the kingdom of God. Then last of all, practically, we're here to invest practically in the kingdom of God. And today that's what we're going to talk about, is how you can invest your time and your treasure to build the kingdom of God. So I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet in honor of God's word. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 9 real quickly. We're going to, in a couple of minutes, we're going to spend some time in Ephesians chapter 4. So if you want to turn your Bibles there, you can read off the screens here, or you can do both. I don't care. Read from your Bibles. I'm never going to encourage you. All right, I'm never going to discourage you to read your Bibles. I want to encourage you to read your Bibles. Y'all ready? Here we go. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Now, notice what he said. He said, when he saw the crowds, he had what? Come on. He had what? He had compassion. Those of you that think God's mad at you, you're wrong. God's not mad at you. He has compassion on you. He knows you're a knothead, and he knows you promise to do better, and you turn around and do the exact same thing again. God knows that about you. And he's not looking at you saying, I'm going to kill him. No. If he wanted to kill you, you'd be dead. Right? What God wants to do is he wants to save you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to give you a hope and a life and a future, and he has compassion on you. So he has compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Now notice this. Then he said to his disciples, and if you're a follower of Jesus, that makes you a disciple, right? He said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. There's plenty of people that need Jesus, but the workers are few. And then he asked us to pray a prayer. He said, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. So this is the prayer we pray. Dear Jesus, put me to work. That's the prayer we're supposed to pray. Dear Jesus, put me to work. Father, I pray that today that prayer would be prayed in this place and that we would take you up on your offer to live the best life we can live because we're devoted to you. Thanks. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Did you hear about the teacher? There was a little boy. It was time to leave, and the little boy says, teacher, I can't get my boots on. So the teacher goes over and starts trying to put the kid's boots on. And I mean, it was rough. It was tough getting those feet in. She's like jamming, and finally she shoved the feet in the boots. And the little boy said, I'm sorry, teacher, they're on the wrong feet. So the teacher reached down, grabbed the boots, struggled, finally got the boots off, switched the feet, shoved them back on, wrestled with the boots to get them back on. The little boy said, teacher, these aren't my boots. In a fit of fury, she reached down and grabbed and almost yanked him off the chair and finally pulled the boots off, gets the boots off, and he says, oh, they're my brother's boots, but my mom told me to wear them. So she takes the boots and shoves them back on the kid's feet and finally wrestles them back into his feet. And she says, all right, now where are your mittens? He said, oh, they're in the toes of the boots. Has anybody ever felt like that? You go to serve, and you go to do something to help somebody out, and it just turns into a chaos of a mess. Anybody ever done that? You know, you go to move somebody. One time, years and years ago, I shouldn't tell this story, but years and years ago, there was a hoarder at the church, and God bless this person. They couldn't help it, but they asked us to help this person move. So about five or six of us showed up to help this person move. And I walked into a house that had magazines from 30 years ago. And they were having a panic attack anytime we picked up anything to move it. Now, I'm going to tell you, I didn't just step in to help somebody move that day. I stepped into chaos. Anybody ever had anything like this? This is the boots and stuff. Just chaos. And sometimes the reason we don't like to volunteer and we don't like to serve and we don't like to go the extra mile is we're afraid we're going to step into those moments of chaos. And guess what? You will. By the way, that person got moved and that person now is in full-time ministry and that person, God has been delivering them and setting them free. And that day was a turning point in their life because a group of Christians showed up to deal with their mess with them. Step into the mess. It's not going to kill you. It'll make you wish you were dead, but it won't kill you. There are three twos about serving in the kingdom of God in the local church, and I want to give you those three truths real quick. Y'all ready to listen fast? Good. Number one, serving fulfills Jesus' purpose for your life. Serving fulfills Jesus' purpose for your life. I'm just going to skip the other verse. We've already read that one. Jesus said to ask the Lord of the harvest. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the harvest field. We are to pray that God would put us to work because serving fulfills Jesus' purpose for your life. I know this from Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Do you see this, that God prepared in advance for you to do the works that He has called you to do? And if you don't do them, you will find misery and you will find a lack of purpose in your life. And the reason I listen to people, especially young people. I love you guys more than you know. People that are in transition stages in your life, and you're all like, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what, should I marry this person or marry that person or should I get this job or that job? And I listen to this tension, and I have a lot of compassion. But let me be very, 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 very clear. Why would God trust you with His ultimate purpose for your life if you're not willing to do His minimal purpose for your life? If you're not willing to serve and to give as He is instructing and encouraging you to do, especially teenagers, listen to me. This is your church too. No, this is your church. We get to attend your church, those of us that are older. This church is here to raise up a next generation. You guys, this is your church. And you should be committed to the kingdom of God. And we should get to help you out, those of us that are older. That means, we'll talk about that later, but let's just be honest. That means you need to serve too. That means this church is for your building and edification, not just for your parents. As a matter of fact, it's not so much for your parents. Your parents just want you to become what God made you to be. I had three parents say amen. All right. So anyway, God has planned for you to do His works. And if you're not doing what God wants you to do, you will never find the purpose and fulfillment that you want. You'll never find that enjoyment of life. You will never be that joyful person. So you need to step into what God has made you to do and fulfill your purpose. Now, I was reading a book called Lead Like Jesus, and they said, they were asking me to name a person that has been very influential in my life. So I'm going to ask you for a second, could you just think of a person that has been very influential in shaping you and helping you get over problems and issues and struggles? Can you think of a person that's influential in your life? Mine is a guy named Robbie McClure. When I was stepping out of the world of sin and going to follow Jesus, they didn't want me, and they definitely didn't want me. And there was one guy that crossed the line. His name was Robbie McClure, and he reached out to me. He became my friend, and he was crazy. He wore these checkered shoes, and they said he put God on this toe and rules on this toe facing this direction. And he was just a little bit of a freak. He'd walk up to you, and he'd do his toes like this. So you'd have to look down at his feet, and you'd see God rules, and he was a freak, and I loved him. He was a great man, and he's been a successful pastor and leader and district ministry director for youth for Oklahoma for years, and a great guy. And he stopped and met me and was a friend to me. And because of him, I made the leap into God's best. All right, so you, did anybody in the room think of a name of somebody that's been influential and helpful to you? Raise your hand if you did. Raise your hand. Leave them up. Anybody? All right, so here's the deal. No, leave them up real quick. Put it down if it was a politician. Not a single hand went down. Put it down if it was a rock star. Not a hand went down. Put it down if it was somebody who was insta-famous. Not a single hand went down. All right, you can let them down. I guarantee you they were normal, average people. Am I correct? Normal, average, everyday people that you run into are the people that have the greatest influence in your life. God's purpose for you is not to create you into some awesomeness out there, but to create you into a person of character that people in your life will look back and say, they made an impact on me. That's God's purpose for your life. Some of those kids are right now back in children's church. Some of them are right now in the nursery. They're right now in the nursery. You know what they need in the nursery back there? Do you know what we need in our toddler room? Do you know what we need in our kids' church? Do you know what we need? We need people that will wake up in the morning, not do their lessons on Saturday night because they have to, but people who will wake up in the morning praying for their students and will study those lessons and figure out how they can be an example of Christ to the next generation. We need some people that will say, you know what? I'll be like Marge Pope. When my kids talk about people that influenced them, they all talk about Miss Marge, who used to get on the floor and play and color and pray with them, and that made an impact on all of my children's life, because here was a lady that said, I will go the extra mile for them. Whose life are you impacting? Or are you just going to be one of those people you sort of go by? Those of you know Miss Marge, she's an awesome lady, but she's not like super duper duper out there incredible, like Rhodes Scholar, you know, with 15,000 rock and science degrees, right? She's just a normal lady who loves deeply. Are you going to be that kind of person? Are you going to be just another person that skated their opportunity to make a purpose in somebody's life? Don't tell me you can't do it either, because I know the devil's telling you you can't do it. He's telling you, your scouting report is, you're no good, you suck, you can't do it, right? Anybody ever hear those lines, I can't? No, there are a few of us. I want to tell you, anybody hear this guy named like Stephen Curry? Y'all know who he is? Who is that guy? What? Come on, talk to me loud enough. They need to hear you online. He's a basketball player, one of the best shooters in the league, right? Like won MVP a couple years ago, am I correct? Yeah. Do you want me to read his scouting report for you? Tough. I'm going to anyway. Says he's not a true point guard. He's out of control at times. Shot selection is questionable. He's stuck between a one and a two. He can't defend his position at the next level. He lacks quickness. He lacks versatility. He lacks a fringe player at the best. And he's average athleticism, average size, average wingspan, and frail frame. And he relies way too heavily on his outside shot. Don't draft him, they said. This guy is now proven to be an idiot, right? Am I correct? Yeah? Do you know the devil's telling you what you can't do? And if you'll step into God's plan for your life, his draft pick will be an idiot of you, because God's going to make you into something awesome. All right, second of all, serving is the only way to maturity. I got to speed this up. So God has given us all spiritual gifts. We all don't have the same gifts. We can't all play like Eliza. We can't all sing like Sarah. We can't do these things. But we all have gifts. There are two different kinds of gifts, though. There are motivational gifts. Motivational gifts like mercy. That's one I really don't have, but some of you are like that. You like see a puppy dog and you're like, because God's probably given you a motivational gift of mercy. Others have leadership. Others have giving. Others have, I don't know what your motivational gift is, but we all have been given gifts by God, and we're to use those gifts for the building of his kingdom. And then there are other gifts. There are other gifts like supernatural gifts, that you pray for the sick and they recover, that you give messages of prophecy or tongues and interpretation, and there are supernatural gifts that are beyond your ability. And I just want to say that God has not limited limited the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the use of those gifts to this space only. But this is the practice zone so that you learn to use your spiritual gifts here. You learn to serve here. You learn to pray here. You learn to believe in faith here within the church so you can go out in the world and make an impact. If you come up to me at Walmart and you say, I'd like you to pray for blank, I will tell you right there in Walmart, you know what we're going to do? I'm not going to say I'll pray for you later. You know what we're going to do right there in the aisle of Walmart? We're going to pray. Do you know why we're going to pray right there in Walmart? Because the gifts of God, the supernatural spiritual gifts of God, are not meant just for the church, but to impact the world as we go and do life and ministry in the world. So the reason we have a church is in the church you can practice in small measure the gifts you get to put into effect out there. The only way to maturity is to learn to use those gifts. And don't tell me, please don't ever tell me that you don't have a gift. Therefore, this need, I'm not the person to help with this need because I don't have this gift. Listen, I do not have the gift of healing. But one day I was walking out of a hospital room and a lady was told she would never walk and they were going to cut her legs off. And I'm walking out. I thought, oh man, I forgot to pray. And I turned back around. I laid my hand on her toe and I said, Jesus, heal these legs in the name of Jesus. And I walked out and the next day the disease was gone and she was able to turn around and walk to this very day on legs they said were going to cut off. I don't have that gift. But in that moment, God gave us what we needed, right? All right? So, what does God give us? He gives us all gifts. I talked to you about spiritual gifts, motivational gifts. Now let's talk about the fivefold ministry gifts. So see if you, Ephesians 4, verse 11. So Christ himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to what? Come on, what does that word say? Equip. Let's talk about equip, all right? Now, I was a goofy boy. I was a little chubby back in the day, believe it or not. I've never been able to see my abs because I was a chubby boy. I was not very tall. I was chubby. And God played a horrible trick on me called puberty. When I was 13, puberty started hitting me. Now, I was about this tall, had a big belly, and I was about this, weighed about 110, 120 pounds. Maybe I was this tall, about 120 pounds, 130 most, about 130. And something happened. This guy grew these arms. The first thing to grow on me were these arms. Now I have the arms. I have to buy 37 shirt sleeves. The reason I don't buy normal clothes, normal places, these sleeves are 37s, and you see they still. All right, y'all ready? 6'8" arms on a 6'1" guy. If God would have let me, the reason God didn't let me grow to the 6'8" guy is because I would have played pro basketball. Instead, I got to be a pastor. So all he gave me were the arms as a reminder of what I should have been. So here I am. I got these arms on a 5'4" guy. These arms. I could literally stand upright and scratch my kneecaps. It was weird and horrible. Now, about that time, in my family, we did a lot of physical labor, so I was always stronger than most because my dad worked us to death. Anyway, I was at school and we were weightlifting after basketball season and these arms had grown and I still got my little belly and I got my long arms and I looked like a marshmallow with toothpicks sticking out. It was horrible. So anyway, I'm upstairs and I go to lift weights and it was upstairs and I got 110 pounds on the bar. And by the way, for those of you that have been through membership class, this is story number 3 and you will hear it over and over and over again. I don't care. Anyway, I got my 110 pounds. I got it up to here, you know, and then to get it up to here, you know, you had to do your that jump a little bit. But to get, come on, when you only weigh about 130 pounds, to get 110 pounds over your head, what do you have to do? You got to see my feet. You see the way they did that? All right, so I'm at school, me and my arms, you know, you can hear it. So I take the 110 pounds. I did that. Now I was wearing, it was slick, it was upstairs, it was a plywood floor like this, it was really slick. I was wearing my shoes, my Converse All-Stars, that had made it through basketball season, so they were wore out and they were slick, and I did that. So I went home that day, and I go to my house. Now, anybody remember back in the day when they had the concrete weights covered with plastic? Anybody remember those? Yeah, how much came in a box? Does anybody remember? 110 pounds. What had I just done at school? 110 pounds. So I go home, I loaded them all the way up to the end, all the way up, full up. Yeah, I'm going to do this. Except I was wearing my school sneakers because, do you know, Converse All-Stars may be cool now, but back in the day, that was the cheapest thing we could find. And they were only white. I didn't know what colors were. They were white. So I wore my white Converse to school, and those were nice. Yeah, and then they got brown because that's how we colored them back in the day. Anyway, so I get my new Converse that are still white, and they're still sticky on the bottom. Oh, by the way, in my bedroom floor, we had green shag carpet. Anybody remember green shag carpet? This tall, right? So I reach down, I grab the weight, and I pull the weight up, and I get the weight up to here. And what do I have to do to get it over my head? Come on, what do I have to do? I got to do the leg thing, right? Well, guess what happened when I did the leg thing? It got caught on my new sneakers, caught on the shag carpet, and I went backwards, and this bone right here wound up here. Now, I went to St. Edward's Mercy Medical Center in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and they took an x-ray, and I still don't know why this happened, but we're in a hallway, hard walls, concrete floor, hard ceiling. We're in a hallway. I'm laying on a gurney, and the guy puts a tourniquet around my arm and fills my arm with whatever Novocaine was to deaden it. And he said to me, you know, he held up the picture. I could see the bone that was underneath. He said, okay, you're going to feel a tug. I still get goosebumps telling the story. I'm not kidding. The hair on the back of my neck sticking straight up. The tug wasn't what got me. What got me was when he pulled my arm, the snap, 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 snap. There it is again. Of my bone snapping back into place and echoing throughout the hallway of St. Edward Mercy Medical Center. And my friends, that is the meaning of the word equip. To set a broken bone. What is the goal of pastoral leadership? What is the goal of apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists? The goal is to set the broken bone. So if you come to Harvest Ridge and you're broken, no big deal, no problem, no issue. Do you know what we're going to do? We're going to snap you back into place. We're going to set that broken bone. If you're broken, this is a great place for you because this is where you get well. God's going to help you get well. He's going to deal with those sins and those stains and those issues. People say to me all the time, I come in here, all I do is cry. I'm like, well, good. It's about time you repented of all those years of sinning. This is a good place. You can get well here. You can get healthy here. You can get whole here, right? Y'all with me? This is healthy. But why do we equip you? So you can get well. So you can do what? Come on, what's the next blue line say? Works of service. The reason God wants to make you healthy is so you can serve others. And the only way to spiritual maturity and the only way you can grow up into what God wants you to be is to serve. So you get well, then you do works of service. Now, the purpose of service is to bring us to maturity. Ephesians 4:13, this is the very next verse, says, until we all reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. We become what? Mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind and teaching and cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. So if you want to know how to not get bogged down by this world, you have to become mature. How do you become mature? Well, it says this very clear. Look at verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love. So first of all, we talk truth around here. No bullcrap allowed at Harvest Ridge. Other churches, you might do bullcrap, but here there's none allowed, all right? It's just the truth. But we speak that truth not in hatred, not in vilification, but in love. Because we love you, we want you to have God's best. Speak the truth in love. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. How? As what? Each part does its work. How is the only way we become spiritually mature? Serve the local body of Christ. If you do not serve the local body of Christ, you will never find your path to maturity. It just won't happen. This is how God designed it, is that by serving others and giving of your time and your talent and your treasure, that is the way you become healthy. Think about this. Today, we did a prayer time. We had seven deacons standing across the front of this platform who were at both services. They were here praying. They took extra time to be here. But not only were they serving, most of you, I mean, they serve in other areas of the church. The only time you ever see them is on a day like today, because most of the time they're just dealing with me and all of my 1,000 emails about fixing every problem that we encounter as a church. But they serve. What else did we have? We had about 7 people on the platform here playing music to help an atmosphere be created that was responsive so that you could pray out loud and other people wouldn't hear you and you could step into the presence of God. You know what else we had? We had sound guy back in the back making sure it sounded good. We had a guy putting words on a screen. You know what else we had? We had people in the nursery that were taking care of your kids so they wouldn't be screaming and running around like crazy. And we had other people taking care of your kids who were teaching them the word of God and investing in them and showing them the love of Christ. And we have all of this happening, all of these people, you know? More than that, though, we had people cleaning this building as the week goes on. We got a lady who volunteers, Lisa over there, volunteers every week, comes around, cleans stuff. She's always walking around cleaning stuff. You know what she gets paid? The grace of God. That's about it. And while all of these people do all of this work so that you and I can have an experience where God can meet our needs and heal us and do works of our lives. That's how this happens. Without each part doing its work, nobody gets blessed. So the last thing I want to talk to you about is serving brings unity. In the Ephesians passage, it says, until we all reach unity of the faith. But in Zephaniah 3:9, it says, then will I purify the lips of the people, that all of them they may call on the name of the Lord and serve him shoulder to shoulder. Now, years ago, God spoke this passage to me, and I read it again a couple of weeks ago, and I knew I had to share it today. Because here's the deal. Listen, Bob Hernandez, would you come here for a second with me, please? The devil comes to attack me. Do you know what I need in my life? There was a time a couple months ago, I was having a bad day, and I sent this guy a text. And you know what he did? I'll tell you what he did. He did this right here. The devil was coming at my back, but who did he have to go through? I tell you, if I were the devil, I would come back around and fight me rather than fight him. He prayed for me, and the Spirit began to minister to me and give me life because of his prayers. I thank God for men like him that we can serve. How do we serve? Shoulder to shoulder. I got his back. In the Church of Jesus Christ, we have each other's back. We do not stab each other in the back at Harvest Ridge. We defend each other's back at Harvest Ridge. And we're here to serve God shoulder to shoulder. Thank you, sir. And thanks for your prayers that day. That meant a lot. All right, so let me talk to you about how this unity looks real quick. So there are 3 insights into this unity and serving together. When we serve at Harvest Ridge, we don't leave anybody out. It's not like this video. Watch the poor guy's face. Just check this out. We don't do this. We don't do that here, all right? When we give high fives, we include people, right? We're a family. We include everybody. Nobody is to be left out at Harvest Ridge, right? All right, second of all, you're not to be this guy at Harvest Ridge. You are not to be this guy, all right? This guy right here. I'm just too important to be doing this. I don't want to be bugged. Everybody else pulls the weight, and I just stand here. That's the guy I want to punch in the... No, I did not say that. Throat punch, just right there. Watch him go, no. This guy, we do not want to be this guy at Harvest Ridge, right? Right? Let's put it this way. You do not want that guy on your team. Am I correct? You don't want him on your team. So that's why we pray for our children days before we show up to minister to them. That's why we show up early and we have a smile, because you might, the rest of the world, be allowed to be a grump. But in here, we actually smile because we love God and we love his people. Can we say amen to that? This is a space where you're not that person. And then last of all, when you serve shoulder to shoulder, you create relationships that last a lifetime. Is that Johnny back there? That dude's a total idiot. Am I right, bro? We went to El Salvador together. He's the coolest total idiot you'll ever meet in your life. He is awesome. You know what? I saw Johnny walking around for a long time, and I thought, dude, cut your hair, whatever. just playing with you. I went to El Salvador with him, and we served. We chipped rocks and sand Uno Mas off a face of a wall, right? And you know what? That guy, he's awesome. You say something about him, I'll guard his back. You know why? Because I serve shoulder to shoulder, and there's a unity that comes with him. And he's a bro. Dude's a bro. He's awesome. And I see other people in this room went to El Salvador nodding their head. You guys know what I'm talking about. There's a unity that comes together when you serve together that you don't get when you just sort of pass each other in the hallways. And you're missing that unity if you haven't joined a team. These guys that showed up this morning at 7 o'clock a.m. to play music together, you know why they do that? Because they love God, they love you, but they love each other too. We support each other. And some of you are missing God's best because you have yet to step into serving. God made you with a purpose. It's the only way you get to maturity. And there's a unity that you get doing it. And some of you still aren't doing it. And I'm here to tell you today is your day. Today is the day that you step in and you take that next step in. We've got to, so how do you do this? What do I do? Well, if you have a pulse, we have a job for you. First of all, you can pray. Let's talk about pastor's prayer partners. If you want to be a part of my prayer partner weekly mailing, send an email here, ask to be on the prayer partner. I'll put you on. But we also have a Wednesday night prayer that people show up at 6 o'clock and they begin to walk around the building and pray all these classrooms for Royal Rangers and girls ministries and the kids ministries. Come on, we love our kiddos. We want them to have the best. And we want to pray for them. We pray for junior high and our senior high. And those prayers, you know, they pray for staff. They pray for your sickness. They pray for the cards you turn in with all the things that you ask prayer for Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Then there's children's ministry. Some of you have been serving at an introductory level long enough. It's time for you to say, I'm going to free up a job of being a greeter so I can devote myself to a higher calling of investing in the next generation. And it may be your day that you say, it's my day to, can you put up that core thing? You've been living in the crowd zone long enough. Step into the church zone. You've been sitting here. You don't have a place. Step in. You're at the church zone. You've been here long enough. You participated. You do your, you know, 20 minutes a month. But you know that God's calling you to something more. I want you to take a full step in. Step into the core. Let's invest. Let's make this space and place a place where people can experience the power of God. And where, especially where children can experience the kingdom of God. And then there's those of you on the outside realms and you're like, I don't know whether I want to do that. I want to tell you, it's very simple. We've got jobs for you that take 20 minutes once a month. You have 20 minutes once a month. All you need to do is smile and show up. Smile and show up. If you can do that, we got a space for you. There are some of you that you're like, I can't do that. I can't smile and show up, but I'm great on the computer. Well, Pastor Ashley, where are you, Pastor Ashley? Where are you at? She in here right now? She was there. She is waving at us back there. Pastor Ashley's going to be right up here. Come on up, take your spot. She's going to be up here because we have some behind the scenes ministries. There's all kinds of things behind the scenes. You said you have about 30 spots of people that can work on a computer or type or stuff that nobody ever sees. You can do maybe even from your own home that need to be done. I think Pastor Matt's over here to answer questions. So here's what we're going to do. How can I be a part? Well, it's very simple. We just happened to plan today for that. And you see these two baskets here, they have these little cards that say, this is what my next thing is. Today I'm going to sign up, but you got to come get one. We're not going to pass it to you. So here's what we're going to do in just a second. We're going to ask you, if you're a person that maybe you're already serving and you know you need to take the next step in, come up, get one of these cards, and stay here at the altar. I want to pray with you. And then maybe you're a person you've never served at all, and it's your first day. First day to say, I want to mature. I want to become what God wants me to do. Come on up, get one of these cards. If you want to change where you're serving, come on up, get one of these cards. Stand here across the front. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray with you in just a second, but you got to get one of these cards, and the instructions of what you do next are here, right here on the cards. All right, y'all ready? Can y'all do this? But everybody stand with me. Come on up, get them. Get them and stay up here. Get your card and stay up here. Stand with me around the room if you would. Come on. Just stay here, face this direction. I want to pray with you in just a second. Scoot out of the way though so more people can get in. Thanks, Angel. You're awesome. Yeah, give them a hand. Don't just sort of give them a hand. Yeah. Come on, there's more of you than that. Come on, get on up here. Start playing, guys. Come on. Just stay up here and there are more of you. Come on. God's dealing with you. It's time for you to serve. The water's good. There you go. The water's good. Jump on in. All right. I'm not going to wait much longer. I'm just going to do this right now. Thank God for your children's workers taking care of kids right now, because I went 5 minutes too long. Right? Thank God for them. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for these guys. Father, I pray that in the name of Jesus, these standing here today, they would step into your maturity. They would step into the grace and the mercy and the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit for them. Lord, that you would anoint them, that you would fill them with the Holy Spirit and power, that you would gift them with new wisdom and new giftings, and that, Father, they would find their place, and as they serve, that the maturity of Jesus Christ would be given to them, that they would no longer be infants tossed back and forth by every wind or wave. Instead, they would be powerful men and women of God, living in the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit with a new level of your blessing. In the name of Jesus, today we submit and we commit ourselves to you. Amen. Amen. Here's what we're going to do. They're going to sing a song. These guys need a high five. You got a card, know what to do. If you can't text, maybe you're like me and you're bad at texting, you'd rather talk to a human being. We have a human being and a human being to talk to you. God bless you guys. Have a great week. May the power of the Holy Spirit be yours in the marketplace. Amen. High five.